Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that talks about a few good men. In fact, Paul singles them out for us, I believe, as examples of what we ought to who we ought to follow. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll be looking from verses 19 through 30. Follow along as I read. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he's concerned. He's imprisoned under house arrest to a Roman guard, chained to a Roman guard, and he's writing this and hoping to be with them soon, but hoping to send Timothy as well as the other gentleman we'll see in a moment to bring word about him and how the church is doing. For I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him, like Timothy, who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking or gambling his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Let's bow in prayer. Father, I pray that you would use your word to challenge us to selfless living. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. It would be easy as you're reading through the book of Philippians to come to this portion of Scripture and just look at it as Paul talking about his travel plans, hoping to visit the church at Philippi, sending someone to get to receive word about how the church is doing. But I believe this is a very important passage of Scripture, and he's setting forth for us some examples of what he has just been talking about, the idea of concern for others, the idea of having the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ and not just looking out for our own interests, but for the interests of others. A few good men and women, and I've added that in the title, a few good men and women can make a huge difference. Michael and I were talking about the sermon here today, and I shared my title, and he goes to a VeggieTales movie, and he says, Dad, you could use as a subtitle, little guys can do big things too. So that's kind of a subtitle. Put Michael's name next to that one. But years ago, you may have seen a poster like the one that you'll see next. When I was younger, we would see these everywhere. They were basically wanting to enlist people in the military. And so we saw that. We want a few good men. And so that picture just kind of captured that. We want you. But you know what? We're not only looking for good men to help serve in our country and to serve in our military, but good men and women are needed everywhere. God is looking for men and women who have a heart after Him. I believe it was E.M. Bounds who said, men are looking for better methods while God is looking for better men. As a child, I remember my parents would often try to introduce us to people who had sacrificed of themselves to let the gospel be spread. And so we would often sit late at night hearing stories of missionaries. My mother or my father would read stories of missionaries who had gone on before us and served faithfully, sacrificed themselves for the cause of Christ. They would also pull out a record. That kind of ages me as well, doesn't it? They put out a record and put it on there and put the needle down, and we would sit there on the edge of our seats or on the edge of our beds and listen to the stories of men who had served on the mission field. Some of them I want to just kind of quickly past you, David Livingstone, missionary to Africa. Oh my, as we sat there just listening to the stories of the sacrifice he had made. Adoniram Judson, missionary to Burma. William Carey, missionary to India. If you've not had a chance to look up these men, jot their names down and read about it. Fantastic how they sacrificed of themselves, had a Christ-like spirit. Hudson Taylor. I especially liked him in the sense that I was going to Hong Kong and to serve there, and I made trips into China. And so Hudson Taylor, I read a lot about him and his life. Another man was George Mueller, worked with orphans in England. And there was one occasion where, well, he was known for his faith, his great faith. And he was praying one morning with a group of orphans sitting around the table. They had nothing to drink and nothing to eat. And you can read this on the internet. You could just look it up, George Mueller's life. And you'll find that as they were praying, all of a sudden, the bread truck stopped outside and brought bread into the orphans. And then down the street, the milk truck got in an accident. And so they had to get rid of the milk. And so they brought the milk down and gave it to the orphans as well. And that was not just once in a while. It seemed like over and over, God used this man in his great faith to minister to orphans all around England, and in particular in London. Missionary Henry Martin, on the eve of his departure for the mission field said, "I go to burn out for God. I am prepared to go anywhere. I'm ready to help anyone, and I'm prepared to sacrifice anything." Wow, that is an amazing statement. Could we kind of make that same statement in our lives today? I don't think we have to go to a foreign mission field to do that. I think we can go just next door or in our jobs or schools, wherever we are, if we have that kind of mentality for Christ. In verses 1 through 18 of Philippians chapter 2, we find that there's been a challenge there by the Apostle Paul. He says we need to show humility like Jesus Christ. We need to think of others. We need to shine forth without grumbling and complaining in the midst of a morally crooked and twisted society. And we need to work out our salvation that God has so gloriously worked in. And so, who better to demonstrate than these two men? And the Apostle Paul obviously had a very close relationship with these two men. They were there ministering as he was under house arrest. And they were there, and they provided a great example for us to follow. You see, we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, and you may say, well, I want to be like Christ, but I could never measure up to what he did during his life. I could never be perfect like him. That should always be our standard, should always be our goal, to look to him. But sometimes we also need some tangible examples that we can look at. Not some super spiritual, super saints, but men and women with passions like you and like me, not a superstar, but ordinary people that God used to encourage us that we can do it too. And so Timothy and Epaphroditus provide examples of men worth imitating. Let's look first at the example of Timothy. The example of Timothy. And we see again in verses 19 through 24 there a description about him. And we see, "I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you." Verse 20, "For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. Others seek their own interest, not those of Christ." And it goes on and says that he was like a son with a father serving with me in the gospel. "And I hope to send him to you at Philippi. And I trust that in the Lord shortly I myself will come also." Well, who was Timothy? If he is set up as an example, you probably can't see this, and don't worry, I'll just mention a couple things. Timothy, for some of you who have studied the Bible, you may be aware of his life. Timothy was a co-worker of Paul. His father was a Greek, most likely not a believer. His mother was a Jew. And it was through the influence of mom and grandma to bring him to an understanding of the Scriptures. In fact, it tells us that in 2 Timothy 1, that his mother Eunice and grandmother Lois taught him the Scriptures from early on. We read in various places, maybe in Acts chapter 16, as well as in 1 Timothy, that Paul was most likely the father spiritually. He was the spiritual father of Timothy. And so oftentimes Paul referred to Timothy as his child in the faith, and there was a very close relationship. He had the opportunity of sharing Jesus, put his trust under his tutelage. Timothy accompanied Paul on many missions trips. Paul and Timothy were close, and they were so close that, notice at the beginning of this book, maybe you didn't even notice it, as we read here in verse 1 of the book, chapter 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ, to the saints. So Timothy's name is associated with Paul even in the writing of six of the books of Paul. Paul also wrote two letters, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, giving instruction to Timothy to know how to better act and how to better run things in a local church. As Paul faced death, he wanted Timothy with him. Timothy was imprisoned at one point and released. So we see that Timothy was a trusted man and friend and co-worker of Paul's. And I love the phrase, the next slide will show it. We read from the text, "I have no one like him." We see that he was compassionate, that he was equal-souled, is really what the meaning of this is. I have no one that was like him. I have no one that was of equal soul to Timothy. He was not afraid to care for the needs of others. He genuinely was concerned about others' welfare. And then he makes the statement, "All seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ." Now, I think it's exaggeration for the purpose of emphasis, that there probably were a few other individuals in the local church there that really cared about others. But he's emphasizing that here was one that he holds up as an example, that, wow, here is one that did not seek his own well-being, but the interests of others. Also, it goes on to say in this portion of verses that you know Timothy's proven worth. He was tested and found to pass the test. He demonstrated under pressure that he was the genuine person. He was the real deal. And how we need to have people like that today. But how wonderful it was that Paul could point to Timothy, a man of proven character. And then it goes on to say, as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. I believe it shows that he was committed. He was faithful. He stuck it out when the going got rough. And they went through a lot of rough waters, literally and figuratively, as they shared the gospel of Christ. But here is a rare example, a rare jewel that Paul lifts up and says, look at him. Be like him. Second, we see the example of Epaphroditus. If you're expecting a child, here's an idea for a name, okay? Might take a little bit. You might have to always spell it when he gets into school. But here is a wonderful example of a man held up who we don't know much about. In fact, here's the next slide kind of tells, who is this Epaphroditus? Well, we'll just kind of skip past this for a moment. We'll look back at some verses. His name means favored by Epaphrodite, or Venus. It was a name that was rather common in the first century, and it suggests that his family may have been followers of a cult of Epaphrodite. We don't know for sure. We don't know anything about his family. We don't know anything about his background, his parents, how long he'd been a Christian. We don't know what his function was in the church. But when the church of Philippi decided to send someone to go care for the needs of Paul, they looked to this man. And I think that's very significant. In fact, the next slide tells us what was the relationship to Paul. And we see that in the text before us in verses 25 through 30. He emphasizes, he says, "This is my brother." We don't know anything about his physical family, his earthly family, but here is a believer in Jesus Christ. He's pointing out that he's in the same family, the family of God with me, and he is a dear brother. It's a term of endearment. And he was not afraid to call him his brother. The Apostle Paul goes on to say, he's my fellow worker. We're on the same team. We're colleagues in sharing the gospel together. We're on the same page. And he's also my fellow soldier. The idea of the picture of the warrior is the idea they were in the same cause. They were fighting, the adversaries against the gospel. They were side by side in their struggle against those who were against and opposed to the gospel. And boy, they sure had a lot of enemies, didn't they, to the gospel? I mean, the very fact that Paul is chained to a Roman guard was a reminder every day and every hour of the day that here was a vivid picture of the fact that the city of Rome, did not care for him sharing about Jesus Christ. Well, what was his relationship with the church? He was their messenger. He was one that was sent. He was also their minister, specifically sent to minister to Paul's needs. He had the heart of a servant. He was a man of great courage. I mean, who would want to walk into a situation where you know there's animosity against the gospel and you still wanted to put your own life at risk and being associated with a man that was not well-liked? Epaphroditus. In carrying out his message, the text tells us later on in verse 30 that he risked his life. He risked his own life. He was selfless. The verb that's used there, it means to expose oneself to danger, to risk or to gamble one's life. It's the idea of throwing the dice and gambling it away because there was no guarantee of tomorrow. He risked his own security and safety. And he became so ill, he almost died. I don't know how he became ill. It was not brought out in the text. But maybe it was the long journey that he went from Philippi to Rome to minister to Paul's needs. Some commentators say that it was probably around 700 to 1,200 miles to get there, depending on which route you took. And they didn't have all the shots available and the medical treatments that we have today. I remember in 1981, as I went as a college student to China, we were headed off there. We had a regiment of shots before we went over there. And so it just seemed like line up and boom, we got all the shots. I don't know how many it was, but it sure made my arm sore. And we were preparing for whatever. And then we were given careful instruction. Here's what you eat. Here's what you don't eat. Here's what you drink. Here's what you don't drink. Don't drink any of the water. Don't drink anything that you can't be sure, you know, that check out the things that are in a bottle at least. Well, there's no guarantees even on that. You could still get Montezuma's revenge. And this is maybe the Roman revenge hit Epaphroditus. We don't know what it was, but he didn't have all the medical facilities available to us today, but he was willing to risk his life. Why? Because he wanted to be a part of ministering to Paul's needs and to share the gospel. And so Paul writes back to the church at Philippi after Epaphroditus had almost died there in his presence. And he knew that the church at Philippi was so concerned about him. They were worried. And Epaphroditus was worried about them, worrying about him. I mean, they were all worried about one another. And so Paul sends him back and says, even though I could use him right here with me, I'm sending him back because he cares so much about you. I mean, a man that was really respected. And he said, receive him in the Lord with all joy because he has ministered to me. Respect him. And then he goes on and says, honor such men. He's a role model. He's one that you can follow. Look to him. Be like him. Guy King, in a commentary on Philippians, tells the story of a man named Sir Bartel Freire, okay? Sir Bartel Freire. He was returning from India, and someone was told to go pick him up at the train station. And so he went to Sir Freire's mother and said, how do I recognize your son? And the mother said this, look out for someone that is helping someone else, and you'll find him. Sure enough, the man went to the train station and looked down the train, and he saw a man that was assisting a lady off the platform and then jumping on and off the train to get all of her luggage and taking it with her to the place where she had to wait for her ride. So going straight up to the man said, Mr. Freire, is that you? And sure enough, it was. Isn't that great to have that kind of reputation? Wouldn't it be nice to say to someone else, hey, so-and-so, you get to know them because they're always serving others. They're always behind the scenes, but they're doing something to serve someone else. That's a great lesson for us all. Paul gives us two models, Timothy and Epaphroditus. Timothy was like a son to Paul. Epaphroditus was like a brother. And the two of them together, these two friends, ministered to him in prison, keeping his spirits up and encouraging him in the work of the Lord. Although they were different, very different, one could proclaim the gospel, one was a preacher, one was right there as a fellow co-worker, but one was a no-name. Well, we know his name. He was a nobody. Don't know much about him. But yet, they both illustrate the same thing. They both illustrate selfless, humble, spiritual service. F.B. Myers, who was a friend of D.L. Moody, was a Baptist pastor and evangelist in England. He's written numerous books and articles, and you may have read some of his stuff and some of the devotionals that you've been reading. But F.B. Myers preached until his 80s, and when he was 82 years of age, he said this in one of his sermons, "I have only one ambition, to be God's errand boy." He wanted to be his servant right to the end. I understand that Ronald Reagan had a slogan that was placed on his desk at the White House that read this, "There is no limit to how far a man can go if he doesn't care who gets the credit." I think that's pretty good, especially in our day when it seems like superstars and having your name in lights is really the thing to do. But the Word of God calls us to be servants, to be looking out for the interests of others, to be selfless. Timothy was a sincere, selfless helper of Paul. Epaphroditus was a friend who served and sacrificed and was a team player. They were a priceless pair to Paul. Timothy and Epaphroditus, the next slide brings it out as well. They were willing to be sent anywhere, willing to serve anyone, and willing to sacrifice anything. How about you? How about you today? We're many years after this, some 2,000 years plus, but I still believe that God is looking for faithful men and women who are willing to stand up, not to just be noticed, but willing to serve others, to care about others before self. Are you willing to give of yourself today and this week? I want to challenge you. I would like to give you some homework. Start showing or keep showing that you are a servant of Christ. Look for ways this week that you can demonstrate this kind of an attitude, that of Timothy and that of Epaphroditus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God, that we're not left in the dark as far as how we're to live. Thank you for the examples of these men that stand forever throughout the course of time as ones that are singled out by Paul to say, look at them, look what they've done, look how they've served. Well, Father, may we be known for our selfless service for you.